My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
I'm HRN's Executive Director, Katie Mosman-Wadler, with a preview of this week's episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. Kat Johnson kicked the season off with an episode about food and football, so now we're turning to one of my favorite sports, talking about cookbooks. We'll take a sneak peek at a few recipe breakthroughs that Rose Levy Barenbaum discovered while working on her 12th cookbook.
You know, so this was such a eureka thing. People ask me if I still keep learning. And yeah, just thinking about it and trying to find a better way. It happens.
And hear about the challenges of writing a book about alcohol from HRN host Souther Teague.
The history of drinking is very blurry because people were drinking and no one was taking notes.
Plus, we'll get all the expert dish about the most exciting cookbook titles heading to bookstores this fall.
Like jazz music, it's been a part of American cuisine for centuries.
Subscribe to Meat and Three wherever you listen to podcasts and be the first to know when the next episode drops.
Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Kat Johnson, the Communications Director here at HRN, and as always, here with my co-host, Katie Mosman-Wadler, our Executive Director.
Thanks, Kat. We're really excited to be back in the studio, back from Portland. We have a bunch of folks in the studio with us today. I'm going to do a round of intros. First, I'll start across the table today. We have our wonderful membership coordinator, Hannah Forden.
Happy Thursday.
Thanks. Happy Thursday to you. And we have Jordan Werner Berry, our producer on Modernist Breadcrumbs.
Hey.
I'll switch last names eventually. I'm just getting used to it.
No.
We have a brand new wonderful member of our intern team, Amanda Wang. Hey, Amanda.
Hello.
In the booth, we have Noam Osband making us all sound great. Hey, Noam.
Hey.
And Liza Hamm's hanging around in there, too. Hi, Liza. She's in the back of the booth. She's waving. And I'm super excited today. We have some really special guests. I might be biased, but only a little bit.
You have to say that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like pretty cool, you guys. So I have family here today. Our guest of honor is my nephew, Aaron Gallagher.
Hi.
Hey, Aaron. And we also have my sister, Freya Balmer, who's the head of product for WNYC. So we've got a little extra like radio presence and force in here today with us. But Aaron is really, really a special guest, and we're so psyched to have you. So we're going to get into a couple of quick updates and headlines, and then we're going to interview Aaron about all things food and the 80s and everything that he loves. So stay with us, and we're going to quickly jump in to talk about events and some upcoming announcements and things. Kat, do you want to take it away on those?
I do accept that this script has something about National Pepperoni Pizza Day, which got added after I read this. So, I mean, I'm just going to put it out there. Anybody have thoughts on National Pepperoni Pizza Day? Aaron, how do you feel about pepperoni pizza?
I don't have it very much, but I like plain much more.
You don't like pepperonis, you just like cheese.
I love cheese.
So I guess our thought on the pepperoni pizza day is, maybe we'll wait till just cheese pizza day. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. All right. And moving on to other announcements. Well, we just got back from Feast. Katie and Liza and I were at Feast Portland with Andrew Friedman and Dana Cowan. We did 2 days of broadcasts last Friday and Saturday. We did almost 20 episodes of HRN on tour. We interviewed people like Andrew Zimmern, Bonnie Morales, Michael Solomonov, really, really awesome folks we got to meet out in Portland, got to pop up on the West Coast for one of the first times. We've done San Francisco before, but we've never done Portland. So I'd encourage everyone to check that out. And coming up soon, we will be teasing Meat and Three, our new episode, which is going to be focused on Feast as well.
What was the best thing you guys ate at Feast in Portland?
Oh. Well, I think Kat and I are going to both say the same thing probably, which is the brisket tacos that smoked from the Vidal's. What's the name of their shop in Austin?
Valentina's Tex-Mex Barbecue in Austin, Texas. I had their food for the first time at Charleston Wine and Food, and they did the same thing both times. They bring their brisket, and they do brisket tacos. They make all their tortillas by hand as well. And they actually, I mean, they can't physically go to these festivals and make this brisket there, so they're smoking it in Austin, shrink wrap, like vacuum sealing it and bringing it to wherever they're cooking, because otherwise it would take them like 2 full days to make. And it's just really cool. Like, you're like, the flavor of like the wood that they use for their barbecue is all sealed into, you know, their luggage basically, and then they bring it, and it's just, it's like the most ridiculous brisket I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, like, precious cargo. like, you hear, like, horror stories about luggage being lost, and when, like, chef luggage gets lost, everybody loses. It's just terrible. So, oh, God, it was so good, though. And also, they had, like, a very spicy pepper.
We shouldn't have
optional.
That.
No, that I don't know what the... I should not have had a second bite after the first bite. It was, like, debilitating, but it was so good. Also, just, like, PSA. So... on here on HR and Happy Hour, we like to leave you with like valuable pieces of advice that you can take forward into your life. If you live in Portland or you are visiting Portland, there is an Uber. It is a karaoke van. Guys, you can totally get picked up by a karaoke van, either by surprise like we were, or you can do it on purpose like we did the next day, which is you look for this guy, Ahmed Karaoke, A-H-M-E-D, Karaoke. Oh my God, so fun. And it just totally took us by surprise. We're like, okay, red Honda Pilot. And it was the karaoke van, and it was magical. So you're welcome.
What'd you sing?
What didn't we sing?
My proudest moment was singing Harper Valley PTA, because he then turned on the strobe lights, and it made me feel like I'd really accomplished something.
Yeah. Oh, and the smoke machine. He like rewarded us with effects when we were like less bad. Yeah, there was a smoke machine. Everybody... do this thing. You're welcome.
That's the stuff of dreams, really.
Yeah. He gets a free sponsorship on HRN.
Yes.
All right. Hannah, you want to talk about our happy hour coming up?
I would love to, especially because it's happy hour right now. But if you want to get up close and personal with the happy hour crew, we are having one of our member happy hours at Whole Foods in Bryant Park, which is in Midtown Manhattan. FYI. And it's going to be on Tuesday, October 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. So you can come. If you're a member, we will give you beer tokens. So you have some very delicious free beer. If you're not a member, you can come and join. There's usually a raffle and grocery coupons if you want to do some tipsy shopping, which we always recommend. And the incomparable DJ Cherish the Love is going to be... serenading us with some Soul Train inspired classics. So I'm super excited. And this is actually going to be the last Whole Foods happy hour of 2018. So we would love to see you there.
I'm going to start a Soul Train dance line.
Yes.
I'll join you.
Okay, cool.
I'm in.
All right. Another announcement. We have Les Dames d'Escoffier. If you've heard of them, they're everywhere. And New York chapter is going to be holding their fourth annual Next Big Bite. What we will cook, eat, and drink, and crave in 2019. They've been doing this for a few years, and it's basically talking about food trends and where we're going in the future. It's going to be happening on October 1st at the New York Law School, and speakers will include, guys, this is a big list: Carla Hall, Christina Tosi, Molly Yeh, Dory Greenspan, and many more.
Woo!
So if you love awesome women in food, this is your event. And tickets are now available at ldny.org.
Another save the date coming up for October 13th is going to be Eat Green, which is the street fair being hosted by the Green Grape. They have wonderfully offered to have that be a benefit for Heritage Radio Network. So please come and have some toast ale, hang with us, and we'll have more information to come soon on that. But it's a Saturday afternoon in Brooklyn. Come and hang. It'll be beautiful.
And it's in my beloved neighborhood of Fort Greene.
Our beloved neighborhood.
Hannah and Jordan will give you personal tours of Fort Greene if you go.
Like For real, though. There are so many good eats in that area. And then another save the date is for EscapeMaker.com's annual Applepalooza. EscapeMaker is one of our beloved partners, and they know how to throw an upstate New York party. So this is going to be a harvest celebration, which is presented by the New York Apple Association. It's going to be a tasting event that's going to celebrate all New York State-grown apples and farm-made apple products, including cider, hard cider, pies, cider donuts, as well as local wines from the nearby Shawangunk Wine Trail and other amazing New York State craft beverages. This is my neck of the woods, and I'm super... What?
Is that why you know how to pronounce Shawangunk?
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, guys.
We're all sitting here with, like, total impressed face.
It is literally my backyard.
That would have tripped me up for sure. Shawangunk.
I know another Apple product that they could sell.
What is it?
iPhones.
You can definitely bring your iPhones and take lots of pictures and tag EscapeMaker.
Oh,
how does that sound? So, yeah, I would love to go to that. You should all go to that. It's going to be on Sunday, September 30th from 11 to 5:30 at Piers 16 and 17th at the South Street Seaport. And in conjunction with the Fulton Stall Market Outdoor Sunday Market, there's going to be live music, free samples, and fun for all ages. So check it out.
So it's like going upstate without having to go upstate.
Exactly.
But why would you? Yeah, I mean, do it and then go upstate. Yeah.
Exactly. Just stay here. Keep the real estate prices where they are. You can enjoy it all from the city. You're welcome.
All right.
Oh, why am I laughing?
Who even knows anymore, right? Okay. Next up, we're going to do some headlines. So, Noam, can you hit us with that sweet, sweet news music? There it is. All right. Happy fall, y'all. Happy fall, y'all. Here's what HRN has been putting out over the airwaves in the past week. On the Farm Report, Lisa Held is talking about Big Picture Beef, a company created by farmer Ridge Shin that takes into account the big picture of beef production, right down to the quality of the soil. Shin came on Farm Report to talk about his new company, how he's helping farmers transition from grain to grass finishing, the market impacts of imported grass beef, the environmental benefits, and more. And quick hot tip also, Lisa just published a bonus episode today about the farm bill because we are getting very close to that being passed. And she interviewed Shelley Pingree of Maine. And I would recommend everyone listen to that because it's something we should all be paying a lot of attention to right now.
Go Maine. All right. This week on Andrew Talks to Chefs, Andrew has on Daniela Soto Inez, and she's talking about her work at Cosme and Atla, which are two amazing Mexican restaurants where she's quickly risen to the rank of chef de cuisine. She's also talking about why she decided to focus her career on such a singular style of Mexican food and what it's like to build a restaurant in a former strip club.
Hey.
That sounds exciting. And on this week's episode of Japan Eats, it is featuring Yamada Chikara, who is a chef and owner of a new Japanese restaurant in Midtown. He trained under Ferran Adria of El Bulli, and Yamada leans on his background in molecular gastronomy in his cooking. Akiko sat down with Yamada to talk about his unique culinary training, how he expresses the essence of Japanese cuisine in his creative dishes, and what he serves at his restaurant.
And as promised, I alluded to earlier, Meat and Three is back tomorrow with a new episode. And we're bringing you highlights from Feast Portland, where we talk to Michael Solomonov, Bonnie Morales, Emma Bingston, and yes, the man famous for eating some truly bizarre foods on TV, Andrew Zimmern. That episode drops tomorrow, so make sure you go subscribe now so you know exactly when it comes out.
Awesome. Well, that's it. That was a lot of headlines and events this week. We've clearly been out of the loop for a minute. We're trying to catch up. But I'm really excited now to turn to the man of the hour. Aaron Gallagher is a fourth grader at Jefferson Elementary School in Maplewood, New Jersey. His favorite band is Foo Fighters, and he's forgotten more about Metallica than you will ever know. He knows how to make toast and a few other things. And can I read this line from your bio about the thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can.
Memorable food encounters include the time he shoved a raisin so far up his nose it had to be professionally removed.
Ouch.
Guys, this kid likes food. Aaron,
I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming today to be on our show.
Oh, sure. I'll do this anytime.
Yes. All right. Well, this is going to be the first of many. So that our listeners can know a little bit more about you, how would you describe yourself?
Funny. Many people say that.
We can start there.
And stylish. Covers it? And stylish. Yeah. Tell us about your shirt.
Stylish.
What shirt are you wearing?
I'm wearing a Beatle shirt right now.
Who's your favorite Beatle?
Paul or George. The quiet one and the annoying one.
Keeping it balanced.
All right. Okay. And what are some of the things that you like to do for fun outside of school, which you got to leave early today?
Wow.
Oh, no. I didn't even get to go to school today.
Oh. No school. Yeah. See, this is like, we're a really great nonprofit keeping kids out of school so they can come on the radio. So what are some of your favorite things to do so our listeners can get to know you a little bit?
Listening to music. Not much more. Probably playing video games too.
Like which ones?
I've been playing a lot of Crossover.
Never heard of it. Sorry, dude. Yeah. What is that?
It's a racing game.
Okay. Like Mario Kart?
No.
I've heard of that one.
That's the only one I know.
We're like not that cool. Okay, well, this is a food station and a food show. So I have a lot of questions I want to ask you about food. And like particularly, you, I know, get to eat a lot of ridiculously good food because my sister is a ridiculously great cook. But you also sometimes eat food in other places like school. What is that like? Like, what is your lunch that you usually have at school? And what do you think about the food at your school?
I mean, it's better than old food, but,
what do you mean old food?
Like old school food that was crap.
Oh, like school lunch of my, when I had school lunch. Is that what you
mean?
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure. I hope it's better than that. I wasn't allowed to eat that.
It's bad, but not as bad as you think it would be. It's not totally bad. The pizza is awesome.
Really? Do they still cut it with scissors?
No.
That was it. Okay. Everybody in this room, how many of you had your school lunch pizza cut with scissors?
Check.
Yes. Okay, I'm seeing several raised hands.
Mine was a few.
We only had English muffin pizza.
What?
We only had English muffin pizza.
Vermont.
So where I went to school in Alabama, it's like the pizza came in like big rectangular sheets, and I honestly think it was like pre-cut.
Really? Like it showed up frozen but cut.
Uh-huh.
And then when they baked it, it would like float a lake of grease up to the top.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember the pizza napkins?
Like, you get it. You get it. Yeah. And it was just like you would just like beg the like lunch staff, like, can you just please cook this more? Because it would come out half cooked, and you're like, this is gonna be bad regardless. But if you would just like cook it more, at least we can like pretend that we get a little caramelization or something.
I don't know. You know what they say though. There's no such thing as bad pizza.
I don't know if that's true. I just don't know if that's true.
Okay, but Aaron, what are some...
Pizza Hut's a thing.
Can you give us some examples of school lunch that, like, you have... Maybe one school lunch that you like and one school lunch that you don't like?
I like their subs and ham sandwiches, but I don't like their chicken nuggets.
Interesting.
Wow.
They're bland.
A kid who doesn't like chicken nuggets.
They don't have flavor at all.
What are the sauce options?
Ketchup, barbecue sauce, syrup for some reason.
Ooh. They give you syrup with chicken nuggets?
No, but they have waffles with it.
Wow. Chicken and waffles thing. Do you like chicken and waffles? Will you make an exception?
Yeah. I've put syrup on chicken before. It's really good.
Sorry, I'm trying to interpret a hand signal. Hold on. I'll come back to that. Okay. And outside of school lunch, Aaron, I have seen you eat a vegetable here and there. Talk to me about vegetables.
I love tomatoes. I'll eat tomatoes anytime.
Technically a fruit, but go on.
I like potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Especially in deep fried, you know, French fry form.
And I love mashed potatoes with gravy. They're the only things I eat at Thanksgiving. They have, like, Thanksgiving-themed and Christmas-themed school lunches, and they are so good.
That's not what I thought you were going to say. But it's because you only eat mashed potatoes and gravy.
Apparently there's no such thing as bad mashed potatoes and gravy.
All right. And so, Erin, you get a lot of, like, pressure from people about what to eat. And can you just give your perspective on, like, why is that? Why is it important to eat a lot of different foods? And, like, what's it going to take to get you to eat everything on your plate?
It's important to eat different stuff because you can go to different countries and you're like, I know this style. It's a really good style. But if you're going to different countries and you don't know what, like, steamed vegetables are, and that's literally the type of restaurant that you're eating at, you don't know what to order. You don't know what's good and bad.
I'm at the steamed vegetable shop, and I don't know how to eat a steamed vegetable. I'm pretty much help! Out of luck.
I want a burger with cheese!
Well, it's true, because you can't always get what you want. You can try sometimes.
Aunt jokes.
Yeah, sorry. I can't resist. Okay, and what about, like, the importance of knowing where your food comes from? Is that important?
Oh, yes. Because you don't want to eat rats behind the dumpster.
You don't want to eat rats behind the dumpster?
Yeah.
You don't agree. Agree.
Yeah. Yes. You don't want to have a burger patty that you don't know where it's from, and it could be just a bull's penis.
It could, and that's why it's important to know your farmer, right?
Yes.
How do you think people can get to know more about where their food comes from?
Read labels.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah. Do you think that if the label says that it's all natural, that's automatically better?
If it's from Stop and Shop, yes. If it's from Trader Joe's, yes. But it's from, like, what if it's from, like, an unknown bodega? Probably not. They just want money.
Well, I don't know. I have some nice bodegas in my neighborhood. But I think what you're saying maybe is that it's important to understand the practices of the store that you're buying food from, right? And make sure that, like, they care about you enough to, like, know what they're selling you, right? Do you think kids your age know and think about where their food comes from or why that might be important?
Not a lot of them, but my best friend, yeah.
And tell me about that.
So, my best friend, she made this really nice cookie batch, and she used all organic ingredients, and she knew where she was getting her food, since her family in Wisconsin has a farm, and she used direct stuff from there. So,
why did she do those things?
Because it's good to eat fresh, and I'm not using that as a Subway slogan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not Subway. Not you guys. We're talking about something else here. And that was really nice that she made those cookies to share with people, right? So do you think she was trying to send a message in using those ingredients to the people that she was sharing the cookies with?
Well, duh.
What was the message?
Eat fresh.
All right.
Eat fresh.
Subway.
What kind of cookies were they?
They were freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh, nice.
Sweet.
So you're getting into cooking a few things, right, Erin? What are some of the things that you like to make right now that you know how to make?
Toast, bagels, and eggs.
Tell me about the eggs. Whoops, I dropped my phone. Sorry.
Eggs. I love eggs because they're nice. Sometimes flat. Sometimes scrambled, sometimes cook in a way that you can't remember. There's so many ways to cook eggs.
I have a question. What are flat eggs?
Sunny side up eggs with little lump of a hill.
Oh, inside. That's my favorite kind too.
Me too.
Like the egg is flat with a little hill.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Yeah. Whoop.
Landscape eggs.
Yeah. That's how flat eggs sound.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Whoop.
There you go. Whoop, 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 whoop. What kind of egg is that?
That sounds like scrambled.
I think that was the chicken.
I think we should do like an interpretive audio album about eggs.
Done. Dun dun dun. Whoop whoop. Done.
Can you make a hard-boiled egg sound?
Whoop whoop.
How does a hard-boiled egg sound?
I've never had one.
Whoa.
What?
Gasp.
I've never had one.
Have you ever had a deviled egg?
She makes them. Katie makes them. I don't eat them, though.
Oh, you should try them. They're delicious. Mm-hmm. They're like eggs with little surprises inside.
Cat makes really good hard-boiled
they're
eggs.
They're deviled.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're deviled.
If we called them angeled eggs, would you eat them?
No.
Okay. Too soft.
I'm not holy, but I'm not unholy.
Don't you think like Metallica eats deviled eggs?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, nee.
I bet that's like a requirement in like the dressing room.
Their rider.
Yeah. It's on the rider, yeah.
Only green Skittles and deviled eggs.
Mm-hmm. Wasabi deviled
eggs. Yeah. Okay, should we take a quick break? And when we come back, we'll ask a few more questions, and then we will do some trivia. Are you up for trivia?
Oh, yes.
All right. You're almost as excited about trivia as I am every week. Okay, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Cut.
This is the best episode
of Happy Hour. Missing you, missing you.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Wish you were been gone a short time. It seems forever. I admit you left, I cried. Tears falling from down my eyes. I too be strong.
We're back, guys. It's HR and Happy Hour. I'm Katie Mosman Wadler with my co-host Kat Johnson and my amazing nephew Aaron Gallagher and my sister Freya Ballmer and the whole HRN crew up in here. And we are just making some quick adjustments, but we're continuing our conversation with Aaron about like kid food, but there's no real such thing as kid food. So we're just talking about food and school food. And I think that Kat has a question.
You just made me think of something, Katie, because you said there's no such thing as kid food. I would like to ask you, Aaron, when you go to a restaurant and you see a kid's menu, how do you feel about it? Do you order off the kid's menu or do you say, nah, let me go for that adult menu?
Sometimes no, because sometimes the kid's menu is just garbage and you could be eating at a nice restaurant and then they have McDonald's chicken nuggets.
And you're like,
No. I'm probably going to order the bacon, egg, and Gouda sandwich. Yeah.
Gouda.
Oh, wow.
I love the bacon, egg, and Gouda sandwich at Starbucks. Mom!
That's a good one. That's like the super smoky one,
Mom,
right?
Answer.
What?
You have experience
true,
with
true
this?
True story. Yes,
I did. I order it confirm. Every time.
Actually, the kid menu thing is, you know, when Aaron was maybe about 4 years old, he brought up the idea, you know, that there was sort of a kid's food and grown-up food, and I took that as an opportunity to teach him his first swear word, which is, I don't know what I'm going to let you say on the radio.
And but you can definitely say it.
Bullshit. So, yeah, that was our, you know, sometimes you like to use swear words as a teaching device because, you know, when you swear, it kind of, like, releases dopamine and, you know, resonates at a little bit of a higher frequency. But I don't know how much that took.
You had that other good one the other day with the toe.
Oh, yeah.
Because science. When you stub your toe, you are allowed to say things you might not otherwise say because science.
Yeah, because science. Because because dopamine and endorphins, you know, you gotta like take care of that stuff. So
Is the child allowed to say bad words on this?
Never.
No, you don't know any bad words except for bullshit.
And shit alone.
I knew it was coming. I was just waiting for it. I knew he was like, he had it loaded.
Drink. It was going to like be let fly. I know. Beep.
Oh, God.
Can we turn this into a drinking game? Like every time my kid swears on like radio.
Shots.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we already did.
Yeah.
We're there. Okay. Erin, what's your favorite restaurant?
Tandoori Chef in my little town, Maplewood. There's this really nice Indian restaurant that I love called Tandoori Chef 2. I don't know if there's a first one.
Is that the one that I went to with Mom that has a table in the alley?
Yeah, that's the place.
It's awesome. It's really they have some like laser disco lights out in the alleyway too if you sit outside. And they're so nice. The people were so nice to us.
Also, they have Indian Chinese food, which I really love. Like Manchurian cauliflower.
Yes. Ooh. So good.
It's so good.
Love that. Okay. And Erin, if you could like eat anything from anywhere in the world for your lunch tomorrow, what would it be?
Indian.
Mm. Well, that was easy.
What's your favorite dish?
Butter chicken and with naan.
Good choice. Good choice.
Mm. What kind of naan?
Garlic naan.
Yes.
Which is excellent choices all around.
We are related.
Erin, do you ever try cooking Indian food at home?
No. I would, even if I did, I would probably suck.
Well, I have a hint for you. Not that I've tried this myself, but I have a friend who writes a lot about Indian food, and she says yes, shout out to Priya Krishna, who, by the way, is running the marathon, so donate to her. She's raising money for Lymphoma and Leukemia Society.
Is she good at everything?
Yeah, she is. It's pretty annoying, but I love her. So she writes a lot about Indian food, and she says that there's actually a lot of people that have written books about cooking Indian food at home in the Instant Pot. Supposedly really good
I've
for that.
I've made her butter chicken, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think if I can cook in the Instant Pot, Erin, you can cook in the Instant Pot.
I can cook in the Instant Pot.
How did your mom's butter chicken in the Instant Pot compare to the restaurant's butter chicken?
I've never
had... Yes, you did.
Sounds like she has to make it again.
Womp womp.
I forget, so... But my dad has made butter chicken from, like, Trader Joe's, and it's pretty good compared... It's... Tandoori Chef is much better.
But in a pinch, Joe's got it.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, so we're getting to that time of our show where we're going to do trivia. And our trivia has a little bit of a theme this week, Erin. And that theme was chosen for you. It's a little bit of a carryover from a related theme we did last week. But Erin, is it not true that you enjoy many things of the 1980s?
Yes.
So we're going to do 80s trivia, but we're going to throw a little bit of a twist into this because, I don't know, I'm confident in your ability, but you also did not live in the 80s. So
not even
close.
Or
the 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, there's something we don't know here.
Time travel.
I think what we should do, because not everyone in here has seen the questions, so if you don't know the answer, you can pick one person to throw it on them, and they have to try to answer it. Sound good?
Okay.
All right. It can be anybody.
And how many times can I do that? Like 5 or as many times as I want?
We'll just say once so we can just keep going through them. Because we've got plenty of questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Question number one. This band is known for the 1987 hit, Welcome to the Jungle.
Guns N' Roses.
Got it.
For the record, I wouldn't have gotten that.
All right, question number two. Am I saying this right? Dave Mustaine was one of Metallica's original guitarists. What band did he go on to? Did he go on to form?
Megadeth.
Yeah, okay.
Are you kidding me?
You can't do that in Jeopardy. You gotta let me finish the question. I'm just kidding. All right, question number three. Nikki Sixx is known as the bassist from what 80s rock band?
Motley Crue.
Got it.
Are you for real? I told a writer that these were like maybe gonna be too hard, but I was like, try it. He'll know them, but also they might be a lot. But no, what do I know?
We didn't need a safety net for him. All right, question number four. This singer replaced David Lee Roth as the lead singer of Van Halen in 1985.
I don't actually know that one.
Oh, you want to throw it on somebody? I have a feeling.
Mom looks like they most know it.
Sammy Hagar?
Got it. Ding. Your mom's the best phone a friend here. All right, question number five. Hip-hop group Public Enemy collaborated with which prominent metal band on a remake of their 1989 single, Bring the Noise? I'll give you a hint. It's something you don't want to receive in the mail.
Taxes.
Freya, you want to give it a shot?
Anthrax.
That's right.
Anthrax? That's after your time, I think.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah. All right. Last question. What is the name of Metallica's original bassist?
Cliff Burner or Ron McGovney?
No, the first one, you had it.
Ron McGovney was actually their very first original bassist, but I don't think you would know that.
Well, we clearly did.
Clearly, we had no idea the level of your 80s knowledge. Aaron, I know how into the 80s you are, and I am blown away. Give me a huge high five. That was ridiculous. I don't know how you did that. I swear to God, I did not give him the questions before.
No one's ever done that well on trivia.
No, seriously, all the chefs, like, we have some really smart chefs come on. Like, Patrick is the one that I always think kind of, like, games the system because he just, like, knows every trivia question ever. But, like, he's just really good at trivia. But, Aaron, you're 10, and I don't know how you did that. You were not alive in the 80s. But maybe you were. What do I know?
In a past
time travel.
I was only alive for part of the 80s, so I don't know. Okay, and we saved some jokes for the end. But I was going to ask you, Aaron, can you tell us a joke real quick? And then I'll tell you some jokes.
Does it have to be related to food?
Hey, bonus points if it is, but any joke will do.
Any old joke will do.
Oh, I have one.
Okay, go.
Okay. Why does an Irishman only put 239 beans in his chili?
I know it.
Because if he put one more, it would be too farty.
That's a good one. You ruined
Hannah. Aaron, Hannah's having an issue.
I've gotten in a lot of aunt trouble for making toilet jokes. So I really appreciate that as a mother, you're doing it because I feel like
give up.
When I hang out with my niece and nephew, I'm like, wait, let's make potty jokes quietly so your mom doesn't hear.
The ship has sailed. The cow is out of the barn or whatever.
My aunt joke doesn't have to do with food, but it's, how do you throw a party in space?
Don't know.
You plan it.
Ah! Whoa!
Noam, did you have one?
I don't have a joke. I was going to say that my sister and brother-in-law are so obliging to toilet humor with their kids that I actually am called by them Uncle Duty. But the joke, which only the oldest ones get, is I tell them, call me Uncle Duty, but you have to spell it D-U-T-Y, because what I'm teaching you is to be responsible.
Oh.
The youngest of the number to take four the loves fun saying out of it. He does not get that palm, but the older ones do.
Oh. Well, thanks for sharing, Uncle Duty. Aaron, do you have a joke for us?
What do you say to Katie's best friend?
I don't know.
Hey, man.
Oh, guys, that's so good. Guys, my bestie from college, her name is Hey Man. She's Korean.
That's amazing.
That's so good.
That's an OG joke.
Yeah, it's really specific. I didn't know it was going to be custom for joke. Me. I feel so special.
Wow.
Well, I have like a quick roster of like, food related jokes another here. Oh, what's give joke. Us another one.
Can we have a kit here? Because we have a cat.
Oh. Break me off a piece of that.
Oh. Do you want to hear a few, like, extra jokes that we have?
Sure.
Well, I'm going to turbo through. We're going to close out the show with, like, the extra jokes list. Are you ready? Everybody.
Extra jokes list.
Buckle your seatbelts. Okay. What do you call a cheese that is not yours?
Nacho cheese.
Mm-hmm. What's a twin? Okay. Come on with the womp womp. What's a twin's favorite fruit?
A pear.
Oh,
yeah,
I...
Yeah. What'd you got?
I have a joke. What was... what's your least favorite kind of cheese?
I don't know.
I don't have a least favorite kind of cheese.
American.
The one that fetters you. Fights you.
These are like
workshopping.
Yeah. Handcrafted.
I love this.
The Heyman joke was just so good that
I'm like still reeling. I can't wait to send her this episode. She's gonna be like so blown away. Also, it's Chuseok this Saturday, so we're having Korean Thanksgiving at Heyman's house. So
you have a custom joke.
I'm a little excited. So I'm gonna bust this out in front of everyone. Erin, you might have to FaceTime us for that. Telling of that joke, absolutely. By the way. Okay, you're on the hook. It's on record. What's an egg's least favorite day?
Mr.
Friday.
Egg.
You got it. You're a master of these terrible food jokes. What nuts always seem to have a cold?
Cashews.
What do you call a fake noodle?
An impasta.
Yes. I don't know how you're getting these. Okay, last one.
Oh, I have one.
Okay, Erin's, and then one more.
About noodles.
Okay, go.
Well, I have two.
Okay, go.
What's your favorite kind of food to eat that you also build a house with? A walnut.
Logs? A walnut. Ah. I thought it was going to be about pasta.
Yeah, that was a total...
And there's, and there's another pasta joke.
Okay.
What does a raw noodle say?
Boil me.
I'm raw, man. Just cook me.
I'm ramen.
Oh, my God.
All right. Slow clap.
You're all right. Genius.
Can you do the womp, womp, womp?
Yay. Trombone on cue. We're related. Okay. Last joke. We're almost out of time.
Very last joke.
Whoa. Why don't eggs tell jokes?
Because they'd crack each other up.
That's our show. Big thanks, everybody. Thank you to Hannah, Jordan, Amanda, Noam in the booth, Liza, who has run off, my wonderful sister, Freya, my amazing nephew, Erin, and my beautiful co-host, Kat. Thanks, everybody, for listening to HRN Happy Hour. And join us next week. We will be back every Thursday at 5. See you then.
Bye-bye.
HRN Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast. Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.